ராமாய ராமபத்ராய ராமச்சந்திராய வேதசி ரகுநாதாய நாதாய சீதாயாஹ பதியே நமஹ. கிஷ்கிந்த காண்ட் சாப்டர் நம்பர் 31. சுக்ரீவா இஸ் இன்ஃபார்ம்ட் ஆஃப் லக்ஷ்மணர்ஸ் விசிட். தி ரெசிடேஷன் பிகின்ஸ் நவ. Burning with grief of separation from his beloved Sita, Rama expressed himself in words of winged fire, whereupon Lakshmana blazed up and cried, "Sir, this Sugriva is at best a monkey. The very idea of a steady course of dharma is foreign to him. Nor does he know what causes produces what results. He has clean forgot that he made an engagement with us over the sacred fire and through it regained his wife and kingdom which he had despaired of. I assure you that the days of his power and happiness are drawing near. Lo, even now he wastes no thought upon us nor upon our interests. Brainless and ignorant, he has sunk himself in the mires of low pleasures. I cannot for my life understand how he has failed to realize that his kingdom, his power, his home and hearth are but gifts of your friendship and pity, and that he is duty bound to repay that obligation. So I entreat you to slay this monkey out of hand and send him on to join his brother Vali. It is a crime, nay a sin, to leave this kingdom in the hands of such a one. My wrath overcomes me. It consumes me quiet. I will, even now, lay how this wretch who has gone back upon his word. Tara and Angada will send the monkeys in search of Sita quite as well." And he started with blazing eyes towards Kishkindha, armed as if for a mortal fray. Rama marked it, and his heart sank within him. "Alas, this my brother has taken all seriously the words that he spoke out of a heavy heart. Sugriva may count himself as lost." So he stayed his brother with a pregnant gesture and gave him his message calmly and plain enough. The Lord of Mercy came down into the world to remove from the path of his devotees those that might seek to work evil unto them. Verily, he has not come among them to consume them root and branch. So he spoke all seriously. "Lakshmana, I have yet to set my eyes in all this world upon one who is a slave of passion and wrath and recks not to set his hand to any crime or any sin, however dreadful. He is a crown of creation whose discrimination stands him in good stead firmly and steers him clear of the heinous crime of slaying a friend. A real hero is he and no other. Think you that it is a virtue, an act of kindness, a pleasant offering to the Lord to stain your hands with the blood of Sugriva? He might have forgotten many things, but you cannot expect perfection from him. On the other hand, we who pretend to occupy a higher place in evolution and civilization ought not, though he does, to go back upon our plighted word to him. We cannot afford to forget that he has been our friend. We have loved him, and that it is enough for us to treat him with kindness and consideration. So, put away from your tongue words of wrath and cruelty. Speak to him gently and with kindness. Tell him, 'Sugriva, do you not see that the time fixed by you for sending out the search party is already behind us? Dear Lakshmana, let tolerance, patience and gentleness go with you.' Thus dispatched on his delicate mission, Lakshmana revolved within himself the message and how he should speak it. Of matchless intelligence, ever seeking the supreme good of others, he had no eyes and no ears for anything else but what would make his dear brother happy and contented. The least word of Rama was to him as sacred as the holy Vedas, and he rested not until it was carried out. The grief and wrath of Rama echoed itself in his heart tenfold. He shouldered his huge bow and strode towards Kishkindha even as the Lord of Death or the lofty mountain Mandara with its sky-clad peaks. On his way, he occupied himself with the message that he should deliver, the probable reply of Sugriva, and how he should meet it. Brihaspati himself, the incarnation of wisdom and intelligence, would bail by his side. The passion that raged within him spent itself on his way upon the lofty monarchs of the forest, that he broke down even as a hurricane upon mountain crests that he uprooted and threw aloft, and upon huge blocks that he ground to atoms. And so, like an elephant in rut, he rushed along even towards the gates of Kishkindha. Soon he came in sight, the capital of the monkeys, situated in the midst of frowning peaks and guarded day and night by huge and fierce monkey hosts that kept the foes away. His anger against Sugriva caused his lips to quiver with impatience. Soon he came upon the dreadful monkeys patrolling outside the city walls. Lakshmana, in his all-consuming wrath, seemed to them as if he was on the warpath against their lord. Hence they caught what lay at hand, peaks of mountains and tall trees, and rushed forward to meet him. Unfortunately, this attitude of theirs, all unconscious and innocent, but confirmed the suspicions of Lakshmana. His anger blazed up even as a forest fire when passing through a patch of dry wood. The monkey hosts dared not lift their eyes up to that hero, terrible in his wrath, even as a lord of death, and with quaking hearts and trembling limbs, they fled away and hid themselves. Some more courageous made in all haste to the palace and intimated the approach of Lakshmana and his fierce anger. But the lord of monkeys was disporting himself with Tara in his harem, and the words fell on deaf ears. Then the ministers sent out veterans to arrange for the protection of the city from the impending destruction. Frightful of mien, huge of stature, even as elephants in rut, or big rain clouds or lofty mountains, they needed no other weapons than what nature had furnished them with, claws and teeth. Cruel-eyed, strong, and lusty even as lions, tigers, or other beasts of prey, they ranged in various degrees as to their might and prowess, some endowed with the valor of 10, some of 100, and some of 1,000 elephants. These creatures of resistless might stood around the city in serried ranks, armed with huge blocks of stone and towering trees uprooted. Sugriva was all unconscious of the situation. To Lakshmana, his brother and lord, Rama, was racked with grief and he needed nothing more. He clean forgot himself. Unspeakable fury and a desire to destroy everything that stood against him took hold of him. The blood rushed to his eyes. He hissed forth like a wounded cobra, and it was a dreadful sight. For fire and smoke seemed to issue from the pores of his frame. Like a five-headed serpent, he looked. His sharp arrow points, its cruel forked tongues, his mighty bow, its coils, his blinding effulgence, its deadly poison. Even so, he drew closer to the city walls. Like the fire of cosmic dissolution flamed he, his breath came forth like the cruel hiss of the lord of serpents. Angada noted Lakshmana on his way and exclaimed, "Alas, a cruel irony of fate this, that Sugriva should so efface himself from the world and its concerns. In his present state, he would never recognize Lakshmana, and I would not be surprised if he puts upon him some fresh slight, though all innocently." And unto Angada thus grieving, Lakshmana addressed himself, "Boy, carry this message from me to Sugriva. Lakshmana, the brother of Raghuvira, has come to visit you. His heart is sore with the grief of his brother. He awaits your pleasure at the city gates. Should you have any faith in him or in his words, bring him here or go yourself to him." Verily, these words cheered not the heart of Angada. He lost no time in seeking Sugriva in his harem and reverently touched the feet of his king and of Tara and Ruma. With a sad face and mourn, he acquainted them of what took place. But Sugriva was supremely unconscious of what Angada placed before him, thanks to his wine and women. Meanwhile, Lakshmana thought that Angada delayed overmuch. His anger quite overcame him, and he was about to make his way into the fortress city by force if necessary. But the monkeys on guard fell at his feet with clasped hands, and with gentle words and humble entreaties, they sought to turn away his wrath. Some cried out in despair as to what fate he would deal out unto them. Others, of greater presence of mind, roared like lions at the sight of Lakshmana, who rushed upon them like a mighty torrent, crashing its way with thundering noise through what lay before it. At last, Sugriva came to himself somewhat, thanks to the terrible uproar within the city and without. Chaplets, garlands, and other vestiges of revel fell away from him as he rose unsteadily, with eyes rolling from intoxication. Angada took advantage of this lucid interval to bring in Plaksha and Prabhava, the favorite ministers of the king. They were privileged to enter the women's apartments. They were loyal to their king and lived but for his good and glory. They sought him in his privacy and made him understand that Lakshmana desired to see him on some urgent business. Then they brought him back to himself with pleasant words and gentle praise and said, "Your Majesty might remember that Princes Rama and Lakshmana had some time ago sought your friendship. Ever devoted to truth, these lords of men deserve to rule over the broad earth and all it contains. It was their hands that dealt out death unto your foe and brother Vali. It was their hands that placed the crown on your head. Lakshmana, one of the brothers, is even now at the city gates. Our monkeys cry in fear at his sight. It might be guessed that he is here by the orders of Rama and wishes to convey to you a message from his brother. He is quite capable of destroying those that seek evil unto you and realizing for you the wishes of your heart. He has dispatched to your presence Angada in all haste. He has come here in terrible wrath and consumes, as it were, our monkeys with his frightful looks. We submit that your majesty would do well to meet him at the city gates with your kith and kin, ministers and counselors. Place your head reverently at his feet and seek to calm his anger. O mighty monarch, shall it be said that you went back upon your plighted word? Stand by your word. The commands of Rama are upon our head and eyes and must be carried out at any cost. Mangalam Kaushalendraya Mahaniya Gunapte Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhoumaya Mangalam.